She's a wonder in my soul. I feel that, y'all.
Ladies and gentlemen, the gospel is on your radio.
I'm thirsty.
This is KAYT, Gina Alexandria, 88.1. K255BT, Monroe, West Monroe, 98.9. K223BI, Greenwood, Shreveport, 92.5. KQJO, St. Joseph, Natchez, 99.3. He's a wonder. And the gospel continues to grow. Praising the Lord. In Senla and in Miss Lou.
My soul. Come on, mama, and tell me what he's been to you.
Jesus.
Welcome to the Movement of Christ Worldwide Ministers Broadcast. Brought to you by the Greater King David Baptist Church. Pastored by Dr. Johnny Montgomery II. One church ministering in two locations. 222 Blood Road and 7305 Harry Drive, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Thank you for your prayers and support of the ministry. Let us now join the broadcast already in progress.
Hope for all I do.
Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this wonderful privilege of hearing your word. Now, God, as we attend our listening to your word, let your spirit speak through this preacher for your people and speak directly to their hearts. Meet them right where they are, whether they're here in the sanctuary or listening by cassette tape or radio. Meet them, God, in this word and minister to them. And then, God, more especially, give us power to practice the principles so that we might profit from them and be assured that you deserve all praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you. Would you stand to your feet in honor of the word of the Lord and turn your Bibles, if you will, to the book of 1 Peter, chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. We want to begin at verse 1, recorded of these words. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious, to whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious, ye also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also it is contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you therefore which believe, he is precious. But unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. May the Lord bless his reading, and may every hearer obey this truth. Verse 9 again, I want to emphasize what it says. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people. I want to pause right there because this last word, peculiar, is what I want to focus on. And for just a little while, I want to speak from the subject, I'm proud to be peculiar. Now, if I've got any witnesses in the house, turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, I'm proud to be peculiar. What about you? Peculiar. Peculiar is defined as unusual or eccentric, odd, distinct from others, exclusive, unique, peculiar. It's important that we understand that this word is in the text for a reason. And before we literally get the full understanding of this word, we've got to back up to the beginning of this chapter and understand, first of all, if you're going to be proud to be peculiar, first of all, then you've got to be prepared to be peculiar. So let's look at what you have to do to be prepared. Verse 1 says, wherefore laying aside all, somebody say, all malice and all guile, and steadily continuing, each one is connected with a conjunction which ties it together, and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings. Now, this is how you prepare to become peculiar, because first thing that you notice is the word says here in Peter that you are to lay aside. Now, when you understand what this means, it means that you have to take it upon yourself to release it, to let it go, to no longer operate in it, not because you can't, but because you choose not to. Laying aside all malice, all guile or deceitfulness, all hypocrisies and envies. Yeah, yeah. If you're going to be peculiar, you're going to have to lay envy aside. Now, you know, you could deal with all of these, but when you get to all evil speakings, I think if you would look at this literally, and I have, because the end result is, it's easier when you look at how it is laid out, because it literally starts in a progressive order, and it starts off with some of the things that you don't delve in every day, like malice. You don't usually delve in that every day, but you do deal with it. And then, you know, deceitfulness, because at some point, if we're not careful, you know, we can be deceptive, because it's easy. You may not lie, but then you might not tell the whole truth. Well, you didn't ask me that, but you knew that's what I was asking. That's deceit. And we do that. Come on, be real with me. Touch your neighbor and say, don't play like you all that. I didn't say that, your neighbor did. Listen. Now listen. It says, and hypocrisies, being hypocritical. Being hypocrites. Now look again, because if we're going to prepare to be proud of being peculiar, we're going to have to stop being hypocrites. There are some people you know in the church, I ain't talking about out the church, that you have issues with. The Bible says if you have issues with them folk, go to them. See, because it's easy to be hypocritical and smile in folk face and talk about them behind their backs.
It's easy to do that, but it's harder to go to him and say, my brother, my sister, I have an issue. This is my issue. I don't want to be hypocritical, because every time I see you, or every time I hear your name, or every time this, that, and the other, something happens on the inside of me. And because it happens on the inside of me, I think I need to tell you about it, because I don't want this thing like a cancer eating me up. But then again, we also stand under a banner of being something that we are not. Or we are standing on the premises, but we are not in any shape or form securing or receiving or living the promises. Hypocritical. And then notice what he goes on to say. It says, and envies. Now I think I need to be honest with you and real with you when I say somebody got something you own. It ain't yours, ain't got your name on, ain't gonna ever have your name on. But listen at this, the world becomes envious. But we are to embrace the blessings of the Lord on other folk, because our time and our season is coming. You don't have to hate somebody or hate on somebody because they're in their season. Some of you might be wanting something you can't handle right now. And because you cannot handle it and you are upset because somebody got theirs and they are handling it, and they are handling it so well it makes you envious, then you've got to pray, Lord, I thank God you gave brother so-and-so, sister so-and-so this. Now I hope that you will give me mine in my time, and until you do, give me strength not to envy them. I hear people trying to do stuff because other folk are doing it. Such and so got, somebody else bought this, you want to go buy that. Somebody else got married, you want to go get married. Somebody else did, and you, for all the wrong reasons, because you're envying them. And you get mad with them and on and on and on. You know. But then that's not all where it stops, because the last thing is the actually most difficult thing, because it says, and all evil speakings. Now, when it says all, it means all evil speaking. Well, let me define what evil speaking is. Evil speaking is when you don't speak good, proper, or truthfully about something or somebody. That's evil speaking. You know, some of us don't understand that whether you're speaking it in your house, on your phone, in a little group, in the church, writing notes, watching folk pass by, or whatever it is you do, when you speak evil of folk, the Bible says that's the very thing you need to put. If you can't say nothing good, say, have mercy, Lord. Say, help, Lord. Say something, but don't speak evil, because again, these things are going to come back to you. But I want you to see this. I want you to see this. Verse 2 says, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby, if so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. Now, these are folk who have been saved who ought to be acting like they're saved. Which means, again, you've tasted that the Lord is gracious, because he could have left you in what you were in when he found you. But he picked you up, somebody said, and turned you around. This ain't just a cliche. There are some witnesses that know the Lord literally took them out of what they were in and turned them and gave them a new direction and a new agenda and placed them on a whole nother road. And they're proud about it. No, they're not proud of where they were when he found them, but he's so glad that he did find him, or they did see that he found them, and from where he delivered them from, they've tasted of his graciousness. Somebody said, I could have been dead, sleeping in my grave. Listen, but I've tasted of his grace. Sometimes you don't know you are your own worst enemy. You could, if God would have left you up to your own thinking, you could not be here today. But you tasted of his graciousness. Listen to this now. Listen to this, because the Bible says again that you might grow thereby in verse 2. the milk of the word that you may grow thereby. See, you're going to have to put all of these things aside, but the only way you can put them aside, listen, is through the word. Because the word nourishes you. And wherever you have issues at and weakness at, the word has strength there. So you need to go there and deal with that. But again, when you look at all of these areas that he deals with in verse 1, that is to prepare you to be proud, to be peculiar. Then it says in verse 4, to whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. Ye also as lively stones, listen, are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Not only are you prepared to be proud, but God has planned you to be proud of who you are. Look again, and holy priesthood. I mean, you ought to take, the proudness of God that God selected you. You were picked to be a part of the holy priesthood. And what's good about it is, if the Lord hadn't picked you, you couldn't have gotten a position. Because the truth of the matter is, we don't qualify for the position, but he picked you. Listen at this, to be in holy priesthood. Now, you're not holy in and of yourself. You are holy positionally because of what he has done for you, clothe you in his righteousness and put you in the position under his authority. So when you operate, you are not operating out of you, but rather out of him. Listen at this, to offer up sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. You serve in the position here on earth in the place of Jesus, representative of Jesus, picked you to be a priest, to offer up sacrifices. And when God receives the sacrifice, it's as if Jesus were giving it himself through you. Listen at this. Verse 6, wherefore also it is contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Zion. We're just talking about you being planned to be where you are in position. Listen, a chief cornerstone. Now look at what he is, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. He's elect and precious. And those who believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, this stone that was rejected by men, that God made the chief cone, the head cone, the cornerstone, has become exalted above all other stones. Now listen at this. It says, verse 7, unto you therefore which believe he is precious. Unto you which believe, he is precious. But unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner. And not just the head of the corner, listen to this, a stone of stumbling, and conjunction, a rock of offense. Listen now, even to them which stumble at the word. How do they stumble at the word? Being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. Now, you know, you've got to understand, it's one thing for folk who don't know him to act foolish. But it's a whole nother thing for those who have experienced him and tasted of his graciousness, and for them who were appointed by the Lord and given a position and a place and don't utilize it for God's glory. Listen at this. The same word that brought them in is the same word they'll trip over if they try to in any way, shape, or form utilize their own will over and above the will of God through the word. In other words, when you know better, James said, you're going to do better. If you don't, you're going to trip over what you know. You're going to stumble and fall because there is no excuse. Now, listen at this, because this is how we're all hypocritical. How many of us have done things this week we know we shouldn't have done? Against the word of God. I don't care if it was small, minute. It doesn't have to be moral or anything. It could be just something, or we should have done something we didn't do. Now, if you're sitting by a person who didn't raise their hand, in either case, you're sitting next to a shown up, bona fide, certified hypocrite. I'm just telling you what God loves. Now listen at this. Because those of us who believe he's precious, and our belief system is different from the world's belief system. And when you operate in that God has called you to operate, then that you've been appointed to, you're going to understand that there are different people who will understand your calling. There are different people, including family, friends, loved ones, etc., who won't understand your anointing. There are people that know you after God has touched you and changed you, sanctified you, after he has saved you and settled you and established you. There are some things different about you that they don't understand about you. And so they say you're acting funny. I want to tell you, according to the word, ain't nothing wrong with you acting funny according to the word. The problem God has is when you start being funny acting. There is a difference between acting funny and being funny. Look at you funny acting folk. I can see you looking at me strange now. Acting funny according to the world is not doing what the world thinks you ought to do. They think you're acting funny. But funny acting folk are those folk who act opposite of the way the word of God says to act. And those are usually folk who are caught up in themselves and their own mind, their own will, their own way, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. God, the Jews and the Pharisees were some funny acting folk. They weren't acting funny. They were funny acting. They said they believed the word, but they denied the power thereof. We got some folk like that today. Now listen at this, because I want you to see something here. Again, the Bible says, verse 9, but ye are a chosen generation. You've been picked. You ought to be proud because you've been picked. But look at what you qualify to be because you've been picked. A chosen generation that is a royal priesthood. Now, you don't belong to any priesthood. I don't think y'all heard me here. But in this generation that he has chosen, of which you are a part of, you are of the royal priest. You got to remember now, brothers and sisters, that Jesus selected you. If you would look again in verse 5, the Bible says to offer up spiritual sacrifices. Now, that was some things the priest did, but that was some things only the high priest did. They were of the royal status, and they did some things that were select. You know, when God wants some things done, and he wants them done by those he has appointed and he has anointed and he has given a whole new level of closeness with him according to his will, he reaches for the royal priesthood. Listen at this, not just an earthly priesthood going through the motions. But he's talking about those who are of the family of God, born by and of the Spirit of God, who operate in the purpose of God. Listen at this, because I want you to see this. Because we are an holy nation, a peculiar people. Now, I told you, peculiar was distinct from others. I told you, peculiar was different, exclusive, unique. It was unusual. When you are peculiar, there ought to be a difference in you that people can see. I shared earlier and I want to share again. You're supposed to be so different that you can't walk in a room with worldly folk and they don't know you're not worldly. They may not be able to put their finger on it. But say, that fella, something's different about him. That sister, something's different about her. Turn to Matthew chapter 5 right quick. I want you to see again what I've shared before. Verse 13. It says, ye are the salt of the earth. Listen at this. But if the salt have lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? The word says, it is thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men. Now, first of all, the purpose of salt is to savor, to season. The purpose of salt is to change the consistency or the taste value of a certain thing. And so what you understand is, no, if salt is of full strength and you put salt on anything, no matter what you have put salt on, the change in taste is evident. And so you can salt it to the point of perfection, or you can oversalt it till it becomes salty. But in either case, if the salt is of full strength, you can never put salt on anything and the taste remains the same. What am I trying to say? That as salt, Jesus said, you're peculiar, man. When you walk into place, you need to put some seasoning on some stuff that folk will know this ain't the same, because you who are salt has changed the taste. You've changed the consistency of the thing by way of your being who you are. And being of this stature, being of this nature, being of this design, God wants you in conversation. God wants you in relationship. God wants you every place the soles of your foot tried to make a difference where you go because of who you are. Now understand this, because he not only says you're salt, but then he says you're light. Now if light is an illuminating force, then that means no matter where you go, look at what the word says in verse 14. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill, what? Cannot be hid. Now verse 16 tells us to do something since we are a light. It says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and do what? And glorify your Father, which is. So you need to understand, God has given through Jesus Christ you a light. He has lit you. He has lit you for the purpose of shining or illuminating. If he has lit you for your purpose to shine, then you need to realize that wherever you are, you need to let your light shine, not make it shine, because once he lights you, you are not put out. The best you can do is hide your light, but you can't turn your light off and on. You got to let your light shine, and wherever you let your light shine, it's going to illuminate what's around you. Now, don't say, because I'm not a big light, I'm not going to shine. Because how many of you know that even in a room, sometimes you have a big light on, you might have on a lamp, and then you still might light a candle. Y'all ain't hearing me here. Different lights project and illuminate different images. See, God don't want all bright lights that are so great in their wattage, because too bright a light will cause you to hide from the light. Anybody ever had the lights turned on early in the morning? Y'all sitting here acting like you don't know what I'm talking about. But then there are bulbs that are called soft white. Then you got clear. I mean, you can go up. The point I'm making is, whatever light God has given you, the purpose of that light is the same, and it's to let it shine. Don't get caught up because your light is little. If it's little, it's because there's a purpose that only a little light can work on. I don't need a spotlight shining on a dinner table with me and my wife having an intimate dinner. Need a candlelight flickering. Y'all acting all holier than thou. Oh, bless his holy name. Now listen at this. Listen at this, because this is the purpose for understanding that. We're peculiar. We're peculiar. We go into dark places, and when we go into dark places, the dark places don't remain the same. The dark places don't remain the same. Why don't the dark places remain the same? Because what God has placed in us is so that we might overpower the darkness. We illuminate the darkness. And so, listen at this. Everything that God intends for us to see or show,